Welcome to the Social Link Podcast, episode 13.
This is E74 Free.
Welcome to another episode of the Social Link Podcast. This is going to be another classic episode. Of course, this is Alex.
This is Anthony.
How's it going, my man?
It's going, dude. It's going. We really digged into the bottom of the barrel, I guess.
No, it's not the bottom of the barrel. It's more like classics. Classics. They're not shitty. They're not terrible. They're just classics.
Classics. This is the very first episode of our very first podcast. Now, mind you, it's not the first podcast we did together. I believe we did a couple Twii games before this.
Yeah. So basically, like, you know, a lot of the references in this podcast are all going to be related to an old website that Anthony and I worked on called Games and Me. Now, Games and Me doesn't exist anymore. And if you go there, it's actually going to be like a spam site. So don't go there. There's ads for several shows. Don't go there. I'm just saying, I'm just warning people right now, so, you know, in case people are curious. But yes, we've done Twii Game, which is kind of like a roundtable discussion kind of show, and then of course we spun that off into the Pixel and Polygon Protection Group, which is actually the very first podcast that just me and Anthony have worked on. I mean, there have been a lot of other guest hosts, you know, kind of like Loveline and stuff, but we felt like it would be appropriate to kind of go back to our roots and to try to figure out and listen to how much we've grown. And I don't know, like, I think we've gotten a lot better. What do you think?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
Now, in some regards, we've gotten worse in terms of scheduling, but in terms of just podcasting in general, I think we can't kill it, right? Because back then I was kind of nervous. I was like, I'm scared of talking to you.
Yeah, well, I think there were those times where you had, like, the fake laughs, like, and I'm like, okay, you're really trying to, like, ham it up right now. It's like, you know, yeah. I was like, all right, even though, like, there's only the two of us really, like, talking to each other. But, you know, for the most part, I think we've learned a lot from that experience. And we wanted to share that, you know, that little piece of history with you this week. And it's also because we've been busy, like, especially Anthony. And Anthony is like, what, you're like, you're in your last 2 weeks of school or something like that?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So that's why this episode is actually still going to come out on time, but just a tiny bit late, maybe a few hours late. So before we actually play back that episode, do you want to say anything about this episode before we actually start listening to it?
I cringed while listening to it. I think it's pretty bad with me anyway. You're fine, but because you were podcasting way before I even.
Oh, come on, not that long ahead of you. Like maybe like about a month, but that's I'm still pretty green when it came to that. Come on.
Well, here's the main difference. Don't expect too much of the chemistry that we have now, like a lot of the shit talking and things like that. It's a lot more passive. I'll say that much, right?
Well, yeah.
A little bit more passive.
Yeah, and I called you by your YouTube handle name, MagusX1. So I don't know. Somehow that was like, you know, that was, we thought that was like the most appropriate thing to do, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But I will say this, though. As that show developed, there were a bunch of other shows. And of every show, even Twii Game, the original show that it spun off, I think TPPG became the headliner of Games and Me, right?
Yeah. A lot of people basically called it as, like, you know, the, what is it? The NPR of, like, our website.
Yeah. It was essentially the show that, it was our main show. It became the main show. That was not my intention, because Twii Game was intended as the main show, mm-hmm. which that's carried on till its end, too, right?
Yeah.
Twii Game did?
Mm-hmm.
I thought Twii Game was a unique format,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. is, it, yeah, so, but whatever, TPPG if you listen to later episodes, the later Alex episodes with me, not with other people that will not go named, they're a lot better. And then, of course, we have the bright spot that is Game Horizon Season 1, but what can you do?
The bright spot. I love how you put that. So,
dude, that's some of our best work, I think, Season 1 of Game Horizon.
Wow, so. Really? You think highly of that season. Holy shit.
I do. I really... Well, no, you know what? This show has been good, so... I think this show has been better.
Social Link, you mean?
Yeah, Social Link has been better.
Okay. All right.
It's a better show, but there you go.
Okay. So, all right. So, you guys will be listening to an episode of the Pixel and Polygon Protection Group, which, again, Anthony and I started back in, what, 2009 or something like that? I think it's 2009.
This was April of 2009, I remember. It was yes. April 2009.
Yes, April of 2009. So
a long time ago.
A long time ago, indeed. Like, a little piece of history just for you. So, hope you guys enjoy it. And again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us at sociallinkpodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Hey guys, we are the Pixel and Polygon Protection Group. So, welcome to our podcast. This is Alex, and with me right now is the host with the most. This is Magus X1. What's going on, dude?
Nothing, just chilling. Pretty excited about this since this is the first episode, so.
I know. So, Magus, since you're the host, what the hell are we going to be doing on this show? I wanted to ask that.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to be talking about... gaming in general, like I do on my channel, but I feel, you and I, we're talking about we're not going to be limited by time, so we'll be able to, say a lot more, and we're going to do some stuff like talk about the news, talk about what we're playing, I'm going to rant about something like I always do, because I always got something to bitch about, and of course, we'll be doing the feature that I'm kind of proud of, but then I shouldn't be, is the most... dumbest fanboy elitist comment from some sort of forum. So there you go.
Basically, the way that I kind of saw it was like, man, wouldn't it be cool to have like Magus in your pocket? Not literally, but I'm just saying like on the go, you can like listen to like all your rants and stuff, reviews and all that on the go. And I was like, you know what? I can't do that right now because my iPhone can't even pull my subscriptions. And it's usually like 24 hours late anyway when they post like, vids on there. So I kind of figured, hey, you know what? This would be a great opportunity for you to kind of... spread your wings and, conquer another territory of media.
we'll see how it goes. We'll see. I think this is going to be fun, though, for the most part. So
yeah, I'm really excited. Between the both of us, like, I think we're both pretty much equally excited about, like, the possibilities. Oh, and, of course, we're going to try to get, like, as many guests as possible, meaning two.
It's gonna be cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. So, okay. So, do you want to start it off since it is your show?
Yeah, let's start off with you, dude. What have you been playing? That's our first segment. So,
yes. So, what I've been playing is, and you won't believe this actually. When we recorded Twee Game this past Saturday, you convinced me so much that I should get this game. And no, it's not the game you're thinking, but I got Tales of Vesperia for the 360. Dude.
Oh, sweet.
Dude, I was like, I want to get into the Tales series. And it's kind of funny because like I really wanted to get into like something like Star Ocean, that kind of gameplay. And Star Ocean, The Last Hope was just, man, that was disappointment after disappointment. But, the game is pretty like... complicated. It's like very metaphysical, and it's very kind of deep. The problem is just, again, it's just hampered by like mistranslation. And the other game that I'm playing right now, which I actually got in the mail today, is the Final Fantasy 13 demo for the PS3.
Oh,
dude.
You are so lucky.
I basically ordered like the Final Fantasy VII Advent Children Complete Blu-ray, which of course I was hoping, oh my god, this is, I hope it's going to be in English. I hope it's going to be in English. And I thought to myself, wait a second, I didn't buy this for this shitty movie. I bought it for the freaking demo. So I popped in the after I popped in the Blu-ray, realizing there's absolutely no hint of English there, I just tossed it right out, and then I popped in Final Fantasy XIII, and I was blown away, man. It looks incredible. I mean,
is it fun?
I wish you didn't have to ask that, but basically, by the time we've recorded, by the time we launched this podcast, we would have already had like a live kind of gameplay footage for Games and Me and stuff, and we actually are doing it, you know, this Sunday. I mean, right now it's Thursday when we're recording this, and from the first 10 minutes that I played of it, it's very interesting. It's very reminiscent of Chrono Cross, if you remember that battle system.
Oh yeah,
you know, like how they have like you have X amount of like ability points. It's almost like a strategy turn-based RPG mixed with a real-time like RPG. So like kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics, you had ability points. So you had ability points that would be determined what was left based off of how far you've walked, if you've attacked somebody, or if you've used an item. It's kind of the same way here. You basically have an ability point system where you have your AP meter, and it builds up, and then, you know, the more you want to use at the same time, the more you have to wait. So that's kind of like how it works.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's very unique. It's really, really strange. Like, as at first, when I first played it, you know, at lunchtime today, I was like, "Bah, this, you know, this is stupid," you know. And then I played it again, like when Vanessa and I like came home, and I was like, "You know what? This is actually not that bad." And I can see it liking it. What I didn't notice was the fact that the other character was being played automatically. So I don't know how the hell that's gonna work out.
Is it Last Remnant type thing going on there? Is that?
No, it's well, the second character is Sats Kalroy, the black dude with like the freaking afro and like the chocobo growing out of his haircut, and you know, still to this day, I think it's the most racist like freaking thing, you know, in that game currently. But I digress. He is basically being controlled by the AI, and so far, the only person that I could control is Lightning. Now, I have to make this disclaimer. It is all in Japanese. I don't read Japanese, so I have no freaking clue what I'm doing. What I'm trying to basically learn at this point is the combo system and how it works out. And frankly, it's a very cool battle system that, you know, could be very strategic at some points.
I saw it being played on, what, Justin TV or something the other night, and it looked pretty cool. And I like the music a lot to it. And I'm just, I don't know, I haven't been excited for a Final Fantasy in such a long time like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I'm still kind of on the fence about it, even though I do have the demo. Because, like, you know, one thing that really appealed to me in Final Fantasy X was, like, it was still very, like, Japanese, even though, like, you know, kind of culture-wise. It, you know, you had, like, the priests and stuff and all that. But here it's like, okay, freaking guy with an afro with a chicken like freaking growing on, and you know, on his head. It's like, okay, let's go nuts. It's, I don't know. we'll have to see when the game actually comes out, because a 2-hour demo is not going to make you, you know, decide whether or not you want the game or not. Besides, like, people said that this is actually a very old version of the game.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that's an older build or something like that.
So, dude, what have you been playing, man?
Well, I've been sporadic, all over the place. Just it just depends. Like, I'll switch between Persona 4 a little bit, which I'm being leery of. I haven't gotten deep into it. I'm like only like hour 54 minutes, because I don't want what happened with Persona 3. This is not a bad thing by any means, but I don't want what happened with Persona 3 happening again. Uh-huh. And I've been jumping like on Street Fighter 4, you know, Gears, you know, stuff like that, Halo, just some multiplayer stuff for quick play on the handhelds. Shoot, I popped in Dracula X Chronicles. I'll never get sick of that game.
Oh my god! You know, here, not to take the floor away from you again, but you mentioned that one of your favorite games last year on the DS was Contra 4.
Oh god, I still play that game.
I got Contra 4 like 2 or 3 weeks ago, dude, and it is unbelievably awesome.
Contra 4 is to me one of the best titles on the DS. It is simply just one of the best DS titles. It's just so old school. It's everything about it is just so badass, and it's hard.
Oh, it's, dude, like, it's so funny because once I got it, I handed it to the rest of Games and Me, and they just don't want to touch it now because they're like, no, my ass is hurting after that. I'm not going to do it again.
You should hand them Ikaruga.
Oh, well, that's
a lot be worse.
I'll do that. I mean, once I finally find a copy, I should try to find it on the GameCube.
You should. Well, actually, it's on the Xbox Live Arcade, my friend.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
It's like it keep forgetting that it's already there. Shit. Yeah, I'm backlogged with Xbox Live Arcade games. I think people will start realizing that. Like, what? Alex doesn't have Castle Crashers? Actually, I have Castle Crashers, but I'm just saying.
Oh, I've been playing that. You just reminded me.
Oh.
I've actually been playing that a lot. I've had it since it came out, but I sort of, you know, just stopped, didn't play it again. But that game is just so psychotic.
It is. Oh my god! Like, you know, my friend, like a long time ago, he said, like, you gotta buy this game. Do you want me to buy it for you? I'm like, fine, I'm gonna buy it right now. So I bought the game, and I'm like, I kind of been kicking myself in the ass for it because I haven't played it since then.
It's just so twisted, dude. Because it's like me and my brother-in-law were playing on Easter, and we got to this boss battle. And we fought the boss, and you have to rescue a princess. And then all of a sudden, it goes like Double Dragon on your ass. You know, at the end of Double Dragon, when you have to fight your partner for the girl, and whoever wins it. Yeah, the same exact thing happened.
Yeah, that happened to me, too. Like, actually, like, when we were playing it here, like, I'm like, what? Why do I have to freaking kill the other guy now? What's going on here?
And then it's hilarious, because you beat up your partner, and you see your partner make out with the... without the princess. That game cracks me up, man, just how twisted it is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool that they have, like, homages to, like, some of those games, too. It's, like, really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything about it. To me, it's like a big homage to the old school beat-em-ups. Because the way the intro screen, it seems it has that arcade-like feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, I need to play that game again. Like, if you probably didn't know, like, I've been, like, buying too many DS games. Too many.
Too many. Yep, too many DS games.
I blame Retrocalypse for that. If you're listening, Retrocalypse, shame on you. Yeah, so, I mean, it's... I don't know. I actually repurchased Dracula X Chronicles now that you mention it. I actually got it from, like, the Game Day sale at GameStop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I also took the opportunity to get Final Fantasy Tactics for it and Final Fantasy II for the PSP.
Final Fantasy Tactics was, to me, is the best Final... The original Tactics, mind you, is the best Final Fantasy spinoff, I think.
Not the advanced ones, right?
The advanced ones are good. It's just that... I don't know. The first one is such a... the first one, just in terms of tone and everything, it's just such a gritty and... It has one of the most screwed up endings in a video game ever, too. I think it really does. It's a messed up ending. Like, everyone ends up getting screwed over in that game. And then the thing is then you go to Tactics Adventure, like, oh, more political intrigue. And then you got, oh, magic kids reading magic books, you know, going into magical worlds.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very fascinating, like, the way that they crafted that world. Ivalice has never been, like, so alive with all these things. I actually appreciated that when that guy who basically made Final Fantasy Tactics went on to make Final Fantasy 12. The only thing that I didn't like about that game was the fact that it didn't have, like, the character development that the series usually, you know, dwells into, you know? It was just like, okay, insert generic pirate here. Insert generic, like, you know, Luke Skywalker type character here. I'm like, and I think Mark from our group actually wrote, like, an essay about it, like, basically saying that it was, it was an essay for college. But he basically declared that that Final Fantasy XII is basically nothing more than Star Wars.
I haven't played that much. I liked what I played of it, but I haven't played that much of it, 12.
Yeah,
I've. I, that's you know what? That's one thing I want to talk about is Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy X in particular, because I got that game for my birthday again. I never completed it. I went through most of it. I think I got to where you go to the mountain where, like, all, you know, the Rondos live and shit. And then, you know, this that flamboyant Seymour guy, like, into something. And, you know, you just have to, you know, you have to fight him. And that's, I think was where I left off, and I never beat it. And, of course, the original data is long, long gone. So... But this was years ago. This was like in 2001 when it first came out. But yeah, it's a pretty good game. And in my videos, I've knocked on the sphere grid system because I didn't care for it. But I'm kind of growing. It's growing on me now, though. But
it's essentially like a very simplified ability system.
Right, yeah. It's kind of growing on me. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. Plus Dracula X Chronicles, you know. For some reason though, I've gone through two copies of it, and every time I load my data, it refuses to. So I have to start a new.
For Dracula X Chronicles, really?
Yeah, it won't load my data. So I have to start over again and unlock everything. So I'm like playing through the game from scratch again. But that's not a bad thing, cuz it's a fun game.
No, it's not a terrible... If it was a terrible game, I would have been like, fuck this, and throwing it away. But, you know, it's Dracula X Chronicles, and that's one of the games that I really want... That I was, like, wishing that I had, like, a Turbo CD, you know? Like, the original one. Oh, my God. Like, it was really, really ahead of its
time. Oh, yeah. It's an awesome game, but I don't know. It's a really good game. I'm a big Castlevania guy, though. I love that series to death. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every game except for, like, you know, Kid Dracula and all that stupid shit, but or a Castlevania Adventure. But the thing about that series is it works both ways. It works as a straightforward platform, and it works as a Metroid style type game, you know?
Right.
And it works. The sad thing though is I haven't beaten Order of Ecclesia yet, or Ecclesia or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a lot of people seem to complain that was like a very difficult game, but I played it a little bit, and actually it's not that bad.
It's not that hard. No. These same people need to play Ikaruga.
Yeah. Speaking of these same people, like there was like, you know, there was this list that I think it was, I'm not sure who made it, but like they said they had like a compiled a list of like the most video games like ever released or something like that. And they basically like cited like Mega Man 9. I'm like, dude, Mega Man 9 is not that tough.
Mega Man 9, I haven't beaten it yet. That's just because I kind of get sidetracked easily because I have so much stuff to play. But Mega Man 9 wasn't that hard. You know, I'm like, I tell people, you know, you want a hard game, go play Contra. Go play, you know, practically any shmup out there. Go play, go play any, like Ninja Gaiden. I remember people were complaining about Ninja Gaiden. I played it like a year after release. People were still complaining, you know, Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox. And I'm like, and I beat it, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I was like,
what was it? What was that? You know,
I don't know. I don't know if I'm just being cocky or if I'm just, you know, experienced. And it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't that hard.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I played it too, and of course, like I finished it, and I was like, this is like what you guys thought was hard, really.
I'm not one of those guys who, you know, even though I'm kind of bitching about it right now, if a game's fun, you know, if it's challenging to some degree, if it's not, you know, if it's challenging. Now, Persona 3, and can I talk about that real quick?
Because
I
want to go for it, dude. Atlas, your show, man.
I just want to talk about Atlas real quick because of the fact that Persona 3 bordered on, you know, that hard level for me. I just beat it last week, you know, and I did my review, and it is challenging game, very, very challenging game. And I started playing Persona 4, and I don't want to get into it because I know how addicting those games can be. It's not that it's bad by any means, far from it. It's just I don't want to ignore my other stuff. The thing about those games and Atlas, I just want to touch on briefly, is I'm going to say this, is Atlas is what Working Designs was. I mean, Atlas has been around probably as long as Working Designs was, but they're pretty much this generation's Working Designs.
Yeah.
But the thing about Atlas that separates them from, you know, Working Designs is what's nice about them is, you know, they're not, you know, they're a developer. They develop their own stuff, but they all, you know, Atlas America not only brings the Atlas stuff from, you know, the States, they're not just selfish like that. They bring all the, you know, they brought back like Legacy of Ys, you know, the remake for DS, and they bring just tons of stuff. And I think Atlas USA is today's working designs because they bring a lot of those niche, and I'm not a guy who prefers one over the, you know, I love Western games, don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying is they just bring over, you know, those niche titles that aren't considered marketable, and it's always nice to see those too.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's kind of like, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you to play through like your Persona 3 was also not only because like it's a great game, but also to see like what they've done in such a short span of time. Like, you know, you get like an art book, you get like a soundtrack. I mean, who does that now? You had to pay like an additional like $10 or $20 to get that kind of
stuff.
That's
another thing they have in common with working designs, because working designs, I think, is not so much during the, you know, Sega CD and Turbo Duo or Turbo Graphics PC Engine days or anything like that, but during the PlayStation days, remember, and they were packing like Ark the Lad full of shit, and they were packing the Lunar games, which, you know, you got maps and, you know, full covered books and shit like that. Was, I mean, that stuff's pretty common now. I mean, you got that with Gears of War, you know, too. But back then, that's...
Hell, you know what? You're getting a Batarang if you actually freaking pre-order, like, and get, like, the collector's edition of Batman Arkham Asylum, you know?
Yeah, you didn't get stuff like that back then, you know? You didn't get special editions or, you know, you didn't get no hardbound books or mini figurines, you know, unless it came from Working Designs.
Yeah. They were the only company that would do that.
So, but like I said, Atlas needs more appreciation. So that I'm done with that.
Okay, that's cool. So, Megas, what the hell are we going to rant about this week?
Yeah, I go on a lot of forums and I see, you know, JRPGs particular. You know, oh, they suck. You know, their stories suck. They're full of cliches. You know, you always see the, you know, the princess disguises the, you know, as a boy or whatever. You know. Hiding out in the city, then she joins your adventure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
I do.
And you do see it a lot, but I think it's a fun cliche, but that's not what this is about. It's the fact that JRPGs are constantly targets of this. But then again, you know, another genre that's always targets of this is shooters. But the funny thing is...
You're talking about shmups, though, right?
FPSs, third-person shooters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay, because they do... and then you have a lot of these, you know, those elitists and such, and they go around and saying, well, you know, it's you never play System Shock. They throw all these games in that, you know, that aren't considered cliche, but everything's cliche though, dude. This is how I look at it. A lot of the ideas used in gaming stories are, you know, have been used in novels and shit, you know?
You're right.
So my argument is everything is cliche. Let's look at a game that's always used as, you know, an argument against this is you ever play System Shock 2?
Yeah, I played it. I know that it's basically just like BioShock, but more complicated. I mean, that's all I know about it.
It's the game that, you know, before BioShock, but the thing about System Shock was, you know, everyone's like, oh my god, the story's so good. And the story is damn good. There's no wrong about it. But the thing is, you know, like, oh, I play original games like System Shock 2 and not your stupid Final Fantasy or not your stupid Halo or your Gears of War. But you got to understand that System Shock's premise, though, is about, you know, as good as the story is, the idea isn't new. It's about a malevolent AI.
Didn't we see those in, like, movies like Virtuosity and, like, you know, even, like, Lawnmower Man? I think, wasn't it Lawnmower Man, like, written by, like, Stephen King or something like that a long time
ago? Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator, that too. I mean, it's not, again, it's, and those are things that are like, that were released like way before System Shock. So, I mean, I don't see how these guys would say, oh, it's a very original idea. I'm like, original my ass.
I mean, it's not new. I love how these people, you know, I think they just say it because the game is more obscure than, say, a Final Fantasy. What do you think?
To me, like, there's certain, my whole thing with these types of cliches is that the fact of the matter is, it's a lot of, I'm under the impression that a lot of little kids actually try to start these also because they're trying to kind of justify the stuff that they already have. And if they feel that their choice has been disproven, then basically, you know what? Screw you. This is what I think, and I'm going to try to disprove you as much as I can, even though, and hoping for the fact that you probably don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yep. The cliche. Well, I noticed the cliche argument too is used by a lot of older gamers. They're like, you know, oh well, you know, I played this back in the day, and you know, it was original and fresh, unlike this, you know. And I'm like, that whole argument is silly because, you know, even it's even the style of gameplay. One thing that's popular uses there's how many times have you heard there's too many first person shooters?
Yeah, I'm kind of guilty of saying that myself.
You think you think so? I really don't think there's that. I mean,
to me, like, I am okay. Like, now I've kind of changed my stance on this because my personal opinion of first-person shooters has changed dramatically ever since I first, you know, like, started, you know, bashing them. Because, again, it's all about the context, I feel, and that's something that a lot of people don't have because, A, they don't have money to do it, or B, they've only played certain games.
Right.
Like, so, like, as an example, like, maybe, like, my feeling about this is that the people who are bashing the first-person shooters are the guys who's only played a very specific genre all their life.
Pretty much.
And so basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify the fact that they've kind of almost missed out on a whole generation's worth of gameplay, which is very understandable. It's a very human thing to do, to try to kind of protect the investment that you've already made. Not only that, but also your parents and stuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
But to me, like, what doesn't make sense is the fact that, you know, you're trying to basically disprove somebody else just mainly because you don't like it personally, you know, which, you know, is totally, like, unfathomable to me, because there are things to like in everything.
I just think they throw it. It goes back to that whole stigma against, you know, the older gamers against the new gamers. You know, they always insult all these kiddies like the FPS. And if you really look at it, man, it's the, to me, you know, there are first person shooters, but I look at my games and such, and I look at what's coming out, and I look at, you know, not only just the 360 or the PS3 or the Wii. You know, I look at everything in the context, and I find in general, you know, in terms of, and I mean everything, not just, you know, retail stuff. I mean downloadable games, you know, flash games, even to that obscure extent. And I find that there's, you know, really quite a lot of variety out there still coming out. I don't see how there's nothing but shooters coming out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, if you're talking strictly about the 360, that's kind of like the stigma that the 360 has, unfortunately. And it's kind of sad that a lot of people kind of look at it and say, like, oh, well, it's the Halo system, so there's definitely going to be a bunch of FPSs there. But if you want to talk about it that way, let me read to you some of the games that I have on there. I have, like, RTSs. I have like, the Command & Conquer series. I have, well, what, Tales of Vesperia. I have Lost Odyssey. I got Star Ocean. I got, like, the Lego games. I got Street Fighter. Those are not shooters. In fact, I can tell you now that, let's see, these are the FPSs that I have on there. I have Fallout 3, Gears of War, the series, Left 4 Dead, I guess Oblivion if you count it, Call of Duty 4, and Bioshock.
See, Oblivion, I wouldn't count it.
Or even Fallout 3. I mean, it's like, you know, It's a dice roll.
Even Bioshock, to an extent.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah, even to an extent. But, yeah, it's kind of hard to... Bioshock's kind of hard to classify, in a sense, for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a damn good game.
Oh, no, it's definitely a damn good game. But what I'm trying to get at with Bioshock, though, is the fact that because it's first person, people sometimes lump it as, oh, it's another shooter.
Yeah.
Like something like Fallout 3. Like the reason why I cited these is because they're all played in first person. And of course, Gears of War is the exception because it's in third person. But it's shooting. So therefore, it must be a shooter. Although, you know, if you've played Bioshock, sure, you can do that. But you can also do different things using your plasmids. And of course, in Fallout 3, you have the VATs, which basically like do the aiming for you, which basically negates the reasoning behind aiming in a first-person shooter, you know?
What about Mirror's Edge?
Yeah, actually, I have that game. That's not a shooter at all. I mean,
no.
Well, you technically can shoot, but it's like if you do that, you're gonna fuck yourself over.
I think the thing about the first person perspective is it's gotten too recognized with the shooter. There's, you know, the thing with, you know, it can be the first person perspective game can be more than a shooter though. Like Oblivion, and even Fallout. I don't consider a shooter because of the you know, it's a heavy RPG in that sense. But they're first person RPGs. If you go back to the PlayStation games, there's this game that everyone seemingly forgot. And I'll put it in the same context as actually, it's two games. Same context as Mirror's Edge. And that's the you remember the Jumping Flash games?
Oh, yeah. Of course I do.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is because Jumping Flash was a first-person platformer. That's what Mirror's Edge is to me. You know, Mirror's Edge to me is a first-person platformer. That's what that game is. You know, it's a platformer.
Yeah.
Because you're jumping buildings and roofs, and that's what you do in a platformer.
Exactly. And, you know, you got to time your jumps and everything. Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think that's just kind of the stigma that the 360 has, unfortunately, because it's very difficult. It's a very new viewpoint that we've had in video games. Like, more than ever before. Because if you look at the kind of history that gaming consoles have, their mascots are usually cute and cuddly, you know, like plumbers from New York or Brooklyn, and or, you know, in Sega's case, it's like a punky hedgehog. Then you go to the Xbox, and their mascot is like a guy in a fucking metal suit.
The same could be said about Sony, too, because, you know, I think Kratos is the closest thing Sony has had to a mascot.
Right. So, you know, so you're seeing this kind of, you know, schism here. And of course, like, there's the obvious, which is Microsoft is the most popular hardcore, you know, Microsoft has the most popular hardcore console right now. And so it's under attack by people who just, you know, are trying to justify their purchases.
Right. Right. And you know what? I don't even think I've ever said this in any of my vids. But I used to be, when I was about 13, 14, I had never been a fanboy of a console until the PlayStation 1. And I still love that console to this day, but I was a bit of a bitch fanboy at that time.
I think we all were. I mean, it was an age where our parents were buying us all our games, and if they bought the wrong console, we had to justify it to our friends. And we had to defend it because it was our choice and it was the best console ever made, you know? And it's like, it's bullshit. They were all good.
Yeah, I appreciate the N64 more now than I did back then because I used to, you know, go in, you know, I used to have this elitist attitude. I was like, oh, I play more mature games. You know, I got, you know, Tekken 2 and Resident Evil, you know, and those games have, you know, some edgy shit in them. You know, you got Mario 64? Ha 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 ha. But you know what? Mario 64 is a brilliant game, though. I have a greater appreciation for that game now, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And such. And so, and of course, Ocarina of Time and, you know, the N64.
Oh, that system was awesome.
The N64 certainly is not a bad console. I appreciate it a lot more than I did back then. You know, mm-hmm. It was just that the PlayStation was when, you know, I think gaming really matured. But back to the cliche thing, I think, you know, the reason people do that is just, you know, I don't know why the older gamers act like that. You know, they look down on the kids, oh, well, you grew up playing Halo, so you suck. You know, we had hard-ass Ninja Gaiden. And one thing, too, I want to state, and I may get some flack for this, is you know how people say nothing but shooters came out? And people are like, uh-huh. Oh, well, you know, back in the Nintendo games, you know, there's nothing but, you know, freshness. That's not true, because if you look at the NES days, there's nothing but pretty much a lot of platformers back then.
Uh-huh.
And some could say, oh, well, you know, instead of just FPSs coming out all the time, you know, nothing but FPS, you could say, oh, there's nothing but platformers on the NES.
Yeah. Well, people are going to, like, market, like, the most marketable genre. I mean, look at what happened to Tony Hawk. Look at what happened, like, you know, everybody and their mom wanted to, like, make, like, a Tony Hawk-style game, you know? Like, ooh, snowboarding and, you know, skateboarding and all that. And, of course, now what's happening is, like, we're seeing kind of the same thing happening to music games, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, there's the next music game, and here's, like, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's one genre that doesn't interest me that much. I'm not a big fan of the Guitar Heroes or rock bands or anything like that.
I
rather, you know, like play Orange Box or something.
Well, have you played, like, you know, it came out for the DS. It's called Elite Beat Agents.
I've heard different things about that game. I heard that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, all the songs were basically covers from, you know, actual songs and stuff, but it's actually pretty funny because it's not a game that takes itself too seriously. It was based off of a game that Nintendo released in Japan also called Oendan, and what Oendan stands for is a male cheerleading squad. The way that it works is that these guys would basically go into these guys in these people's houses or whatever and try to cheer them, and, you know, so that they can succeed in whatever impossible task they have. It's the same thing with Elite Beat Agents, except it has like an American soundtrack. So, but what's good about it is that you're not playing an instrument or anything. It's just timing based using the stylus.
You know what? That's another thing that's great about the DS. You know, it comes out with all those niche titles. Mm-hmm. You know, those, you know, you could, I mean, you know, you got stuff like Phoenix Wright and Trauma Center and, you know, right. Just really, you know, even Cooking Mama to some extent, but games that aren't considered marketable. But like I was saying, though, the cliche argument's really invalid. I think they just use it to attack, you know, that genre. And I think, you know, it's sad to see that the JRPG genre just gets so much flack, and it's really not a bad genre by any means anymore.
And let's even get into that. Let's get into like the JRPGs, because I still have kind of like some sort of stigma to it personally, because I mean, as amazing as Persona 4 is or has been even, and I will, you know, play it again, and of course while I'm playing through Persona 3, there are some stereotypes that still kind of exist, though. Like, you know, there's always, like, that girly-looking main character, and you have, like, the bad guy who typically has long hair, and it's like, I don't know, man. it took, like, a divine act of God, meaning your recommendation, to make me, like, look at Tales of Vesperia and say, hey, that might not be bad.
The thing about the JRPG genre is, you know, back in the 90s, let's look at it from the SNES, when you know, it's the same thing with Square. You weren't getting that many of the JRPGs over here, so they were a little bit more special back then. But then once Final Fantasy VII hit, you know, it became, you know, you just got tons of them, and you still get tons of them. You just get them.
Right.
And I think that's the thing, because, you know, it's the same argument they use for shooters. You know, the people anti-shooters, they're like, oh, you know, it's just a generic shooter, and you know, because we get so many. It's the same thing for JRPGs, because we get so many. The reason we thought it was, you know, Square was so special back then compared to what they used to, is we got maybe not even half of what they released in Japan back in the early 90s, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, what was it? They never even released, like, Star Ocean here. Like, they released a second one. They called it Second Story. They were very flat out and saying, like, hey, this is the second game.
Oh, man, you won't believe. There's a lot. I mean, from Square, we did not get, you know, there's a little nice little RPG title that they have called Live a Live on the SNES that you could get, you know, emulate for fan translation. It's really quite good. We never got Live a Live. We never got Bahamut Lagoon. We never got that. We never got Seiken Densetsu 3, which is the Secret of Mana sequel. We never got the Romancing Saga games. I mean, we never got the Front Mission games on the SNES.
Mm-hmm.
Or Treasure Hunter G, or there's just a bunch of stuff we never got here that were on the Super Famicom that we just never got on the SNES.
Yeah, but there's also maybe the question of maybe there is, you know, I'm going to slightly take the side of people who argue against what you're arguing right now. I think sometimes there is an oversaturation for some of these. Like, a good example is, like, you know, like, again, let me cite the Tony Hawk stuff. Like, it's, you know, they were great games, of course, but I think that there's a kind of like a threshold as to how much of that crap someone can take. So, like, as an example, like, let's say I've been playing Tony Hawk games for the past 5 years, and barely anything has changed in the genre. So with that said, I could basically make the declaration that, you know what, I am sick and tired of this fucking genre because it hasn't changed at all. I'm going to move on to a much more worthwhile genre. And to me, like, I think maybe it could it be possible that maybe people are just basically saying, hey, you know what, I've been playing like FPSs for five years now. I am sick and tired of this. Or even for JRPGs, I've been playing JRPGs. Do you think that's possible?
You know, it might be you know what? Maybe I've stated this. I play anything pretty much.
Yes.
Maybe that's my thing. Maybe that's why I'm more accepting because I don't just maybe it's just the people who stick to one genre, you know?
That thought crossed my mind because I have a friend of mine who basically only plays two genres, racing and FPSs. And basically, like, he can't see himself playing any other game other than that. And to me, like, I think it's safe to say that you and I have the same gaming preferences. We play any type of game under the sun. Well, I guess except for music games. But, you know, it's like I want to experience as much of it as possible. Hell, that's what I did recently. I actually purchased this Gaia because I couldn't understand the fact that I had this irrational hate towards strategy RPGs. And then when I popped in this guy, I was like, oh my god, I missed out on this when it got released, you know?
You know, like people who just play Madden.
Yeah.
Yeah, Madden or whatever. I mean, for me, it's just that I don't know. It's I guess, you know, I'm just you know, I don't mind all this, you know, you know, it's not really saturation. I don't think the JRPG genre is that bad, though. The games really aren't badly made. You know, for me, a bad game is just something that's really just broken and, you know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, I totally understand what you're getting at. I think it's not the fact that they're terrible. I think we can kind of rule out the whole notion that it's a quality issue, right?
It is to an extent. I think it's just that some folks are... You know, I think there's two problems. Some people just play, you know, one genre or two genres and that's it, you know? And that's their preference. Nothing wrong with that. But then, they, you know, they get bored of it, you know? And some people are just not open to try. And then there's just people who will never get tired of that genre. And that's the only genre they enjoy. And they have given other genres a chance. And that's just as, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then they'll wind up basically doing what we've been talking about here for like the past few minutes and stuff.
And then you got the problem with elitists, and it doesn't just exist with PC. I mean, I see a lot of console elitists out there, you know, like, oh, you know,
this is everybody,
you know, I just play all these niche titles like Shadow of the Colossus that, you know, that have cult followings that aren't really that popular, you know, and I'm just I'm a more refined gamer than you are, you know?
Right. So, all right, Magus. So, in closing, do you have any final thoughts for this rant? I mean,
I think that's all we said. What we all had to say, and it was an interesting discussion.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break right now, and we will be back shortly.
All right. Cool. Cool. Cool.
Sometimes scholarly, oftentimes juvenile, Twee Games strives to keep you up to date on the latest video gaming news from all the angles. Or maybe just make a bunch of dumb puns about DRM. Either way, it's worth a listen. So check us out on iTunes or on our website at www.gamesand.me. All right, Magus, so what's in the news today? So do you want me to read this article that I just found and stuff?
I got it. I got it from GameSpot, and it's the Microsoft extends – I think this is the only real interesting thing that's happened. Extends 360 warranty to cover the E7 floor errors.
Now, I hate that.
Well, you hate it? Have you gotten it? Or
I'm just like – I've recently had like problems with my laptop, and first of all, like let me explain this to you. So basically, Apple has this thing called AppleCare. I have a MacBook Pro as a laptop, and the way that it works is that you have within 1 year to buy AppleCare for that product, And after that, your product would be covered for 2 additional years. Well, guess what? It basically started breaking about a month after the 1 year ran out. And of course, you know, this is a laptop. This is like, what, my second laptop. And I've had this for a while. Now, here's the thing. First issue that happened, the power cord starts fraying. So you started seeing like the wires for like the electricity and stuff.
Right.
Bad thing, right? So I was like, okay, I'll just ask my boss to buy it for me and stuff. An additional one. That's fine. Second part, the screen stopped showing up. Like it would be a blank screen when I turn it on.
Uh-oh.
And Apple basically said, okay, the logic board is probably fried. You have to replace this because you don't have AppleCare. You need to pay $300 to replace it. I'm like, okay, fine. I had it reimbursed. The third time, which I have to say is like the most bullshit maneuver ever, which they should have basically given me like, you know, a replacement like laptop, because I mean, that's 3 strikes, you're out, you know? The battery started expanding. So in other words, the battery underneath the laptop started bulging.
Uh-oh.
Up until the point where the laptop was not flat on the surface anymore. And up to the point where you can literally see the packets of batteries inside the fucking battery. And, and apparently, any moisture that comes in contact with that battery has the potential to blow up anything within a foot of the battery.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
So you would think that they're just going to basically say, okay, fine, here, replace, you know, the whole thing. You know, like, we'll get you the newest one. You know, it's no problem. I'm sorry that you've been having issues. This is the kind of shit that we're seeing with Microsoft right now. They're basically saying, well, we'll still fix your system. I mean, there's nothing wrong with your system. And they keep stressing that, you know. And let me read this article that Major Nelson, he's like the guy who basically is all over Xbox Live. He says, hey guys, there have been stories recently about the E74 error message that I want to address. The team is aware that a very small percentage of our Xbox 360 customers have reported receiving an error that displays E74 on their screen, and after investigating the issue, we have determined that the E74 error message can indicate the general hardware failure that is associated with the 3 flashing red lights error on the console. As such, we will be covering all repairs due to the E74 message under the 3-year warranty we announced related to the 3 red rings error, as well as reimbursing any customers that have paid for the E74 related repair. And then it says, this applies to new consoles for the original retail purchaser, whether purchased before or after this change. So, based off of that, do you think like we're covered still? Like, if, because I just recently bought like an Xbox 360 Elite, you know, do you think that we're covered?
Let's see. Well, the warranty has served me well twice. It served me well twice because, well, the first time it happened, and you know, I told everyone on YouTube, you know, my son urinated on my Xbox, and it, instead of burning up and such, it got the 3 red lights of death. So instead of you know going out and buy a new one, I basically lied to Microsoft, said it was the red ring of death, and then waited like 2 weeks after getting the box to send it in. So uh-huh. You know, the liquids were gone.
Right.
Packed it up, got it back. Completely was not expecting to get a 360 back. You know, they were going to send it and say, oh, well, you're going to have to pay for us to fix it. No. I call them within like a day and they said, oh, we already have it fixed.
Okay.
Then it's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, the 360 legitimately got the red ring of death.
Okay.
And I sent it in and it covered me. So the warranty, that's one thing I give them the benefit of the doubt is the warranty. But the thing is with the Microsoft is, you know, the problem that I have with the 360, it is to me I'll say it straight out, it's my favorite console this generation.
Uh-huh.
The problem I have though is there's a certain, you know, and this should never be with any console, there's a certain sense of dread whenever you turn on that that button. You know, you know, I always wait for an instant and I just wait for it to be green, not red. Now I'm waiting.
I'm steadily nodding my head over here on the other end of the line. I'm like, yeah, I agree.
There should never be. I don't think I've ever, you know, even now I'm at the point when I turn on my PS2, I'm so paranoid of the red ring of death that I look over it and I'm hoping that, you know, all of a sudden it doesn't flash red.
Oh, jeez.
My PS2, you know, and it freaks me out every time. You know how you leave the PS2 on standby? I look at it and I'm like, oh, God, that's a red light. But that problem shouldn't be there. Now this E7-4, I don't think I've heard a little bit of it, but I haven't heard, you know, many stories as much as the Red Ring of Death.
It's an overheating issue again.
I haven't, you know, and last week, you know, not last week, but when I called them about it, you know, about my 360, I asked them, because when I started hearing about the E7-4, and I asked them about it, and they're like, oh, it's not covered, but, you know, they're starting to cover it now, so. Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, it is, I'll be honest, it's a good warranty plan. But, you know, you shouldn't even have to worry about it in the first place. I mean, it's great that they have it covered. It's just that you shouldn't even worry about it, about a red ring of death or E7-4s or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, they said that – I think it was Ted who mentioned this, and he said that the issue with the E74 is also another heat dissipating issue. And I think that it just kind of shows that they really – tried their best to kind of curb Sony like into the corner just because they wanted to release a console before Sony did.
Right. I think, yeah, that's, I've heard that too, that they rushed it, but we'll see. We will see. We'll see what's going to happen with the 360 and the Red Ring, because I'm going to judge it depending on how this console goes, this current one I have, you know, see how long it lasts, mm-hmm. you know. But let's hope that they fixed it, though, dude.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing we can hope at this point is try to see if they basically cover, you know, any sort of, like, issues that we have. And, you know, for the guys who actually experienced this, I'm sorry. I don't like the feeling of having to, you know, not use something because you're afraid to actually that it'll actually break. Like, having no confidence on a product is the most terrible feeling ever.
I have confidence. I mean, like, Live is superior to what PSN. This is just my opinion, if you think other
people. Right. Of course.
Well, to the audience out there. But it's just the fact of the matter that, you know, I think, you know, everything about the console is just great. It's just that dread. But it's, you know, I will. But everything else to me makes up over that, though, for me. You know, I'd rather, I don't, you know, if there were more, you know, I would have switched to PS3 if there were games that interested me, you know. That's how I look at a console. It just simply, for me, there's more games that interest me on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like, you know, this is basically a talk of, you know, in terms of personal preference.
Yeah.
But as far as the E74 goes, that is like beyond preference. Like, if you love the 360, whether you hate it or not, you will get it at some point. Whether it if you have the newer chipsets, especially because, of course, now Microsoft is in de facto saying this has basically replaced the Red Ring on the brand new consoles, which it sucks, but, you know, you kind of have to live with it. Like, hell, I'm using like my MacBook Pro right now to record this podcast, so I mean, I can't really do anything about it, but I'm pretty sure, like, you know, it's still going to function correctly.
But I haven't heard that many stories of the E74, though. I've heard some, but
that's a good thing, because personally, my friends have bought like the old 360, so the most that I've heard them, you know, experience is the Red Ring.
Oh,
which I have about, of 10 friends that I have, about maybe 6 of them have had it.
And even the you know, the Red Rings are, the stories are kind of decreasing compared to what they were, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. 2 years ago, that was crazy.
And the console that I had, you know, like I said, the first time I got it was because of, you know, a 2-year-old's accident. it wasn't because it, you know, but you know, I think that the console that I had, I got it back in 2006. I've had the 360 since near launch.
Same here, actually. I got it like in the January after launch, actually.
And I was surprised mine lasted as long as it did. And then this one, what sucked about was I was playing Fallout 3, and the Fallout 3, you know, the pit. It was when, you know, remember the whole thing with the pit when they had to take it down and all that?
Yes.
I was finally getting into the pit, then the pit throws on me. I shut it off, and I got the red ring. So now, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, I'll never see this E7-4.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. But yeah, it's good. Yeah. I will say in the end, though, the warranty plans are good, though. That they are good.
Yeah, they are good. So that's kind of very ballsy of Microsoft to do, because that's, you know, they could have just basically ignored people's problems, like what happened to mine, and, you know, just totally like shoved us off. But, you know, at least like Apple with my laptop, they tried to make things better. And that's kind of like the most important lesson here, you know. And there's also another news article we wanted to kind of brush on, right? Like the whole John Madden thing?
Yeah, he retired. So I wonder, you know, if he's still going to do his voice in the Madden games, maybe. I really don't play. I don't play Madden games at all, but.
Me neither. But do you remember, like, I think it was last year that there was, like, some rumor that EA was trying to get rid of John Madden? Maybe this is the reason why?
Maybe. So I heard they're going to retain the name, though.
I see.
You know, but maybe, you know, as much as I'm not a big sports fan, maybe, you know, EA will relinquish this, you know, bitch hold on the NFL license, and you can actually see 2K games coming out, because I've heard there's a lot of people who still play, you know, NFL 2K5, mind you.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
They still play that's considered one of the best football games of all time. Believe it or not, I know a lot of people who still play that game.
Yeah, the Sega stuff is like really amazing. Like Sega, I've always been a fan of Sega sports games.
Yeah, I've heard that game is just amazing, and it's just, you know, what Madden wasn't. It's just a better game. Now, my personal thing, I don't know, you know, but I would like to see that NFL license relinquished, though, and see other.
Okay.
Because that's a bitch move.
Yeah. Well, sorry. And just to clarify, like, I know that I mentioned Sega earlier. It's 2K. 2K has them.
Oh, 2K. Oh.
Completely forgot.
I thought yeah. Sega published those, though.
No, 2K Games did.
2K, okay. Yeah. 2K games used to be published by Sega, weren't they?
The 2K Sports, yeah.
Yeah, they used to be. But 2K has become its own entity.
Yeah, they got bought out by Take-Two.
Yeah, yeah. And BioShock really made their name.
Oh, yeah, BioShock and of course, like, I think, yeah, Grand Theft Auto also, right?
Right.
2K? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
That is crazy. But yeah, like I said, though, you know, it's I just wanted to say, you know, what, you know, if he's still going to do it or not. I don't know. I don't think he will. I don't know. But I just wanted to touch on it real quick, and that, you know.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking, though, Magus?
What?
I was thinking that the reason why he did this, like he retired, is because he probably was getting enough royalties from the Madden games that he said, all right, I'm quitting. I can do the Madden games forever.
Fuck, those sell. I, you know, as milked out as that franchise is, it still makes a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, it does.
It does. But I think that's all I got to say.
Yeah, same here. So, all right. Well, let's take another break, and then we'll be back with the stupid fanboy elitist comment of the week.
Yep, our equivalent of stupid criminals.
All right, we'll be back. On the Review Club, we review from a different angle than most. We prefer not to ask whether a game is good because, let's face it, there'll always be somebody out there who'll appreciate the subtle complexities of Super Noah's Ark 3D. Instead, our Review Club asks, who's this game good for? We're a diverse group, and we can always be counted on some lively conversations. So check us out on iTunes or on our website at www.gamesand.me. All right, and we're back. So, Magus, who is the candidate, or who is the winner, I guess, of the stupid fanboy elitist comment of the week?
It is Monkey Bonk from the Game Trailer Forums. And there's a little bit of a backstory before I actually get into the quote. All right, well, the backstory is there's this thread that I participated in, and I'm a huge BioWare fan. I love BioWare. I love everything that company puts out. I'm absolutely a huge fan of them ever since Baldur's Gate 2. And the thing with this is that there is a thread that simply was favorite BioWare games. And he simply said, my favorite is Mass Effect. He just said Mass Effect. And this guy named Monkey Bonk jumps in and says, Mass Effect is the only bio game you've ever played. And then he goes on this tangent. And now, this isn't his quote yet, but he goes on this tangent rant, you know, about how, you know, BioWare is not as good without Black Isle. And, you know, typical elitist shit. You know?
What?
And then his last quote was, you know, pretty much all their games after Baldur's Gate 2 have been overrated crap for mindless console fucks. So I jump in and basically point out that Neverwinter Nights was not a console game, has never been a console game. Then he replies, says Neverwinter Nights was fucking terrible. So then I jump in. Of course, I basically called him an embarrassment to gamers just because of his attitude. And because I said that, I guess I angered him to the point where he said the most elitist and dumb I'll say it again. I've seen a lot of elitists and stupid elitists, really, really stupid ones that are hilarious, really stupid fanboys. But this one, this is the perfect one to start the show off. This one has to take the cake. So I called him an embarrassment to gamers out there, and this is how he responds to me. Gamers, you're going to compare me to gamers. Most gamers are functionally retarded and only started playing games after they were dumbed down enough after 2001. Go check out how many people actually think COD4 is the best FPS ever made, and I'll prove two things to you. One, gamers are by and large fucking idiots. I don't consider myself a gamer because I don't want to be associated with that crowd, yet the moron plays video games. Two, opinions can be and are often wrong.
So he basically said that he's not a gamer, and two, his opinion could be wrong.
And then someone replied, if you don't want to be associated with gamers, don't come to a video game site and talk to other gamers.
Yeah, why the fuck would you troll in like a video game forum filled with gamers if you don't want to be associated with other gamers?
He was just basically thinking he was some sort of guru or god or something.
I don't get these people, man. Like, seriously, it's like some act of God. It's like, you know, like, I cannot explain trolling. Like, really, like, it's unfathomable to me that somebody would spend the time to actually go back and forth with you and say, oh, I am not a gamer. What?
I don't think it's the fact. I don't think he was trolling to troll. I think he was just – sometimes I think elitists – unintentionally troll. What I mean is that they're so egotistical, they'll come on and they're not, you know, they just think they're better than everyone. They don't necessarily try to anger everyone, but they just say snobby things like that. And that's what this guy was doing. And pretty much his quote was just quoted over and over, and he left the thread. He never repeated anything after that. He just said, that comment's so mind-blowing. So how stupid that was.
You know, we actually had like a guy who we blocked at Games and Me.
Really?
Who was basically saying that any kid that plays like Grand Theft Auto, regardless of how their parents treat them, is basically like, you know, training to be like the next Columbine killer. I was like, oh my god, you did not just threaten a fellow gamer that. And it's like, it's so out of place. Like, he basically constantly, I'm not going to identify this guy because he is obviously like not worth any of our time, but we're giving him time anyway because that's kind of ironic. Haha. But he basically called himself it's very similar to like what you just mentioned to me. He's basically like this guy who feels that he's very mature for his age. Like, maybe he's 30s or something like that. And yet, like, a little kid, basically a kid who's, like, maybe, like, you know, like 11 or 12 years old, manages to piss him off. And he was, like, going back and forth on him and stuff like that. I'm like, this is a kid. Have you not have any experience with kids before? Unless you personally are a kid, you will not treat a kid like this, like, you know, the way that you're treating right now. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it. I really don't get the thinking of these elitists either. I just, you know, this one, he's a gamer, but he doesn't want to be associated with them because he's, you know, that's the thing with these elitists. They hold on, a lot of them, you know, they think they play something obscure and they're somehow better, you know, they like all this obscure shit.
Oh, yeah. Here's another thing that guy did, all right? He basically says that he wants, you know, he basically wants the Japanese to rise up in development and so that they could take over, like, and, you know, totally, like, rule, like, you know, the development community again. And then we said, well, have you played Henry Hatsworth for the DS? And he said, no, who made that? And I said, EA. He's like, oh, it's a terrible game. And then we said, like, well, actually, Henry Hatsworth is very close to what a treasure game would look like. And he's like, well, they got my respect. They got my respect. Okay, whatever. You know, mind you, it was made by the Madden team. This Henry Hatsworth platformer puzzler was made by the Madden team. And he was, like, so mind-blown that they actually, like, made a good game and made a concerted effort to make a good game. Third and last thing. This guy basically said that he likes supporting the companies. He doesn't like buying used games, right?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, fine. And he said, like, well, you know, like, he got into an argument with one of my forum moderators, and he said, well, you know, you should have bought, like, Parasite Eve new, because I, you know, because that's supporting the company. I'm like, hello, Parasite Eve, like, was released, like, when?
1998.
Yeah, I'm like, I think Square Enix or Squaresoft has made their money from that game. When GameStop bought that game from the distributor, they got their fucking game. They got the costs already. And then, you know what he posts in that same moderator's comments? Like, I think it was today or yesterday.
What was that?
I have the ROM of that.
Oh, yeah, he's really supporting them. You know, he's downloading them for free.
Yeah, and then he basically went on to say, like, oh, I only download ROMs so that I can play games, so I can try out games. I'm like, that is still illegal. Really? Really?
God, they're so... This is why I'm doing that segment, because, you know, they really are a bigger problem to gamers than people make them out to be, you know? We sort of just brush them aside as, as these idiots who just, you know, that are psychotic, but they really do cause a lot of problems, though.
Yeah, they do.
They start fights with people, and like this guy, all he said was he thought Mass Effect was BioWare's favorite game. That's all he said. And then he gets accused of being a little kid that has never played another BioWare game. And in fact, that guy said that he had played other BioWare games. He just liked Mass Effect. And this guy was like, well, then blah, 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 blah. And that's when I sort of, you know, trapped him into saying what he ended up saying.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of elitists. And, you know, at Games and Me, we have like a zero elitist policy. Like, I mean, if you're an elitist in terms of innovation in games, you know, kind of like the gamer glyph that we use for the review club, that's totally fine. But we don't like it. You know, we personally have this rule where we don't want to impose our favorites to everybody else, because we know that, you know, like, it's kind of like the coin term that we have at Games and Me. You know, somebody's going to like that crappy Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen horse riding game. At least one person will like that game. So there's always something good to see in games, even though it could possibly be the worst kind.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to look at it from this standpoint too. Is let's look at those type of games. You know, like the High School Musical games and all that shit. Yeah, I make fun of them all the time. You know, I continuously mock them. Like, like I was at Best Buy with my wife today, and I was like, oh, you know, I want to buy, you know, I picked up the High School Musical 3 DS game. I was like, hey, babe, buy this for me. But of course I was just joking, and I make fun of them, but, you know, we're not, me, you, and pretty much the other hardcore gamers, we're not the target for that game, though. It's right. Like 14-year-old little girls who love that shit, you know, that High School Musical shit. And that's fine, you know, because that's what that movie's targeted for, and that's what the game is targeted for.
And you know what? While we're at it, let me preface this by saying that we are, you know, as far as targeting goes, sales targeting, we have gone through that ourselves. I mean, anyone who's grown up in the Pokemon generation has gone through and got addicted to Pokemon. And we loved every single minute of it. Even Power Rangers. We loved every single minute of watching Power Rangers. So, again, that is... And of course, like, our parents at the time are like, oh, how can you like that crap? It's kind of like the same thing. So, the bottom line is, I think, personally, is that if you don't want to sound like your parents... Don't troll.
That's the thing about some games too, is Pokemon's a tricky title because it's not, you know, High School Musical 3 is targeted towards those girls, like I said, right? But the thing with Pokemon, though, is if, you know, I always tell people, because I still like Pokemon, but I'm really not, I could give a shit about the anime series and all that. I don't care about any of that, or the movies or the anime series that will never end, you know? But the thing about Pokemon, though, is it looks all cutesy and shit. But if you actually play it, though, it's not really a kid's game in terms of, you know, how complex it is. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very complex game. And mm-hmm. Pokemon's a hard one to, you know, it looks kiddy, but it really isn't. But that's the thing with Nintendo games, though, has always been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to, you know, certain games are hard to judge, you know, like Pokemon's one of those, I think. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I have to pull myself out of this rut and actually start playing Pokemon, because a lot of our subscribers and friends in the community are like saying, you gotta play Pokemon Platinum, Alex. I'm like, okay, fine.
Pokemon's just like Persona for me, though. I'm very careful not to play it. Not that it's bad, it's just that it's so addicting.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but that's my thing, though. These elitists need to just shut the fuck up. That's all I gotta say.
All right, cool. All right, I think that about does it for our very first episode of the Pixel and Polygon Protection Group.
Oh, yeah.
How was it for you, Magus? That wasn't that bad.
It was fun. I got to get used to this format, though, because my videos aren't really planned. I just go off, turn on the camera, and just say shit.
Well, no, I mean, it's organized chaos. Yeah. It's still us ranting and stuff, but now we can rant like up until like an hour, like or an hour or two.
It's going to be fun, though. Hopefully we got more episodes, and this one will come out pretty well. So,
yeah. Well, do you want to give out your email address in case you want to get flamed, or I mean feedback?
All right. I'm not going to give out my personal address, but here's my address at Games and Me, and that's at magus@gamesand.me. And you can find my channel at www.youtube.com/user/magusx1. You could always just send me a message there, too.
All right. Cool. And do you want to end this podcast in your usual way?
Yep, and with that, Magus out.